Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za. Election economics on Kaya Biz.
Well, it's 33 minutes after 6 o'clock. You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. And of course, we're keeping with the theme around elections and how it intersects with economics in South Africa. As we just heard our conversation a moment ago with Siobhan, there's a lot of focus around business confidence, how the currency's been reacting and responding to the news of the elections and debates around how and which way the coalitions will go. And of course, we've even had some notes that have been shared from international organizations like ratings agencies, Moody's, sharing some suggestions on their concerns around the future of a coalition government in South Africa. Well, someone who is always available and a good friend of the show to give us some perspective on the key themes we really need to bear in mind is Dr. Ntabiseng Moleko, development economist at Stellenbosch Business School. Dr. Moleko, always a pleasure to speak to you, and thank you so much for your time.
No, thank you for having me. Very good evening.
Fantastic. I recall speaking to you at the beginning of the year, just before the State of the Nation, the National Treasury Budget speech, and of course, anticipating the elections. And I guess first things first, we didn't anticipate to have a week that would have the markets on tenterhooks. Is this the kind of response that we should be anticipating, though, or should have anticipated?
In terms of the election results? Sorry, just repeat the question.
In terms of the market reaction to the election results?
I'm not really attuned with the market reaction in terms of the rand. I think things are pretty stable. Mm-hmm. But I think that for me, the focus on the election outcome, surprisingly, is always on what are the markets saying and you know, what is the sentiment on the rand and the dollar, what's happening on, you know, the stock prices, which is very far from the average person and the average individual in this country. I think what is more relevant is that there is a real policy uncertainty because no one knows at this point what the outcomes will be of the negotiations. And the uncertainty is what is probably driving some of the changes and some of the key indicators from a market perspective. But that's never really, for me, my focus.
100%. And I'm glad you mentioned that because it is important that we do take a look at the outcomes of what the electorate has voted for and how that should translate into what government does focus on. And you have some suggestions here in terms of stimulation of economic growth in the economy.
Yeah, so what the people of South Africa are saying basically is that the current, and I think a lot of the emphasis by South Africans is that we are not happy with the current status quo. We're not happy with the market-oriented policies and the approach. We want redistribution. That is what you're seeing in the results. More than a quarter supported in terms of the voters, if you add the 14 and the 9, a quarter of the populace is saying, we want transformation. We want redistribution of the factors of production. If you look at the other parties and you add them to the mix, many of those support, including the two that are the third and the fourth biggest parties, are also supporting a transformative approach to the economy to say BEE, employment equity and inclusive policies should not be a thing of the past because we see a change of government, however it looks. Why that is the case is because part of the woes the country has of underdevelopment and unequal growth and unequal access is primarily because of the growth path we have seen in this country that is simply put not inclusive, doesn't reform the sectors, the value chain. We don't see a deconcentration of industry. And there's a lot of concentration in all the sectors, even new sectors like renewable energy, where you're seeing 4 or 5 firms take up more than 70% of the market share of turnover in that sector. So what you're seeing primarily is the South African populace saying there has to be change in the focus and the prioritization and in the outcomes. So I think when you ask me the question, what should be done? I think the first thing is that the policymakers set the economic system that we employ. Yep. The policymakers and the government of the day has set the policies for the last 30 years. The government of the day set the policies pre-1994, and we have seen the outcome. And so what the South African people have said is, simply put, we are not happy with these outcomes. Our voice is saying there has to be change, and the factors of production have to be redistributed to the masses of the people of this country. So I think that that requires a discussion. You know, we want to rush into, is it pro-market? Is it not market-friendly? Mm. You know, who is it favoring? We haven't even discussed what are the core issues that need to be unraveled, and how do we look at the current economic strategies, policies, you know, the framework that is causing the conundrum we are in now. That's what needs to be reviewed and relooked as a country. And I think that that's the first point, so that we can change the outcome. And a lot of people say, no, it's implementation. Mm. Of course, the state capacity plays a role. But even at the heart of, if you look at 2000 to 2007, 8, we had the best performing economic outcomes. We still had very high unemployment, very high poverty levels, though that declined, but it wasn't sufficient to deal with South Africa's, you know, underdeveloped trajectory. So I think we still have a lot of work to do, Kuku, but I think that we rush to conclusions,
yeah.
And we don't want to deliberate on some of the key issues that need to be unpacked so that we have a different journey this time. 100%. Otherwise, we'll get the same outcome.
And I'm glad that you're taking us back to those particular basics instead of rushing to try to respond to an audience or have some kind of acknowledgement locally or abroad. And I want to go back to the factors of production, because I think there's some key policies that speak to all four there.
Mm.
Entrepreneurship, land, capital and labor are the four factors of production. And there's some intriguing and often opposing views on how these four factors need to be prioritized in terms of the manifestos and policies that we hear from varying political parties. Your thoughts there?
So let's start with the biggest one. Let's start with capital. Mm. That includes your banks, that includes all your financial assets, you know, that includes your pension and your life insurance products and your sector. Really the whole financial system. South Africa's financial system is privately owned. We've employed the market-friendly and free market capitalist economic system. So what that means is most of these factors of production are private owned. We don't have a state bank. That's a fact.
Mm.
And so the reality is more than, I'd say, the growth of earnings of major banks in the last year has been over 13.8% to up to 113 billion of assets. This is just the growth, the profits of these banks, the turnover of these banks. When you look at, though, what portion of these banks and allocation of assets under management and even the different classifications are actually driving development and access to finance for SMMEs and access to finance, if you look at the financial sector charter, to ESDs and emerging suppliers and those who are previously excluded.
Yep.
The data is shocking.
Yep.
You know, I'm not going to go into the reports now because we've looked at the financial FSC codes and the charter that monitors that. The results are really not what we need as a country. And collectively, we need to say we are not, from the capital allocation, dealing with inclusivity adequately. What, therefore, must we do?
Mm-hmm.
And I write a lot about this, and I say that we have to discipline capital. This is what emerging markets have done. Many emerging markets have had a very cooperative, collaborative relationship with capital. In South Africa, for some reason, and I look at the Japanese after the World War, the Chinese in the late 30, 40 years that we have seen, they deliberately worked with banks, set up state-owned banks, set up structures using even pension funds to drive development for infrastructure, to drive investment into small and medium and micro businesses, and development finance institutions were, I would say, supportive, but banks alone, development finance institutions alone, don't have the balance sheet. And it's understood across the globe. They simply don't have the balance sheet to meet the demand for a growing society and economy that wants to be inclusive and that wants to grow. So the Japanese, after the World War II, were able to reform and drive sectoral development because capital was able to work in a collaborative, and I want to underline that, collaborative, cooperative approach so that we reach national priorities. not at the expense yes. of the goals of the bank, but in tandem with. We have not seen that cooperation as a country. The credit guarantee scheme of COVID of $200 billion, where only 10%, even less of that was used, because they simply didn't come to the party. That's the reality. I think if you look at the land issue, the reforms around land, we know that most land is privately owned in this country. About 80%. A very small portion is state-owned, less than 15%. And so if you have that type of, I'd say, concentration of land in private hands, what about the rest of the population? How is that, and who are these 79%? What must be done? The country needs to engage on that.
The issue around land, though, is the compensation, right? If it should be taken without compensation. That's another dilemma that also seems to be a stumbling block for many of these political parties.
So this is why I say, the cooperation will require compromise. I've never seen a country that has developed without compromise. And it must come from all its citizens. We want compromise from certain sections of the population, and others simply don't compromise. And the compromise must be across. It must be across the different sectors, stakeholders, interest groups, and South Africans across the board. So I believe that this compromise, have we seen the compromise that this country needs to go forward? I don't think we've seen it, to put it simply.
Got you.
We haven't. So I think the negotiation around this has to happen. We've seen it from the legislative perspective, with the bills going forth to Parliament, not getting the majority, and so forth. But the cry of factors of production reaching the masses, there has to be some way to cooperate for the national good.
100%. Dr. Moleko, we'll have to leave it there for today, but truly appreciate the insight you've shared with us. There's so many other layers to this conversation that need to be had, but all the more reason for us to reach out to you in the near future again. Thank you again for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. That's Dr. Nthabiseng Moleko, development economist at Stellenbosch Business School. Share your thoughts with us as well. She's rightfully commented on the fact that we just need to go back to basics. Sometimes we get so lost. And I'll admit, because we're part of it, right? I'm part of the media that talks about the markets. The rand's up, the rand's down. The markets are dwindling. And we tend to add all this panic in the market when truthfully what we're doing is just educating you and giving you some insight into what is happening, but not looking to cause a stir. Alarm, panic. It's really just about getting a better understanding of how each and every one of us, as ordinary South Africans on the ground, on a day-to-day basis, who are looking to buy a loaf of bread and a liter of milk, still connect with international communities and understand how they play an influence in these basic items that we look to purchase. So it's not about alarm. It's not about too much confusion that we're looking to create. Here on Kaya Biz specifically, you know, we're all about understanding how the world of business works, whether it's intersection between politics and business, but also understanding the impact that it has on you and I. And this is why these conversations matter. So we're allowing you to add your voice to the conversation. Tell us what you believe it is that the government should be focusing on, a new government that we've all elected, as we do see by the electoral results. But of course, with no clear majority, there are ongoing negotiations and conversations to see how it is that various political parties partner up to ensure that we can be led to better days in South Africa, and where the economy remains crucial for that particular level of development, as it has a direct impact on you and I.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.